Well, well, young people, it's school time. School time, school time. Many of you have started classes and subjects, and some are homeschooling, and so your whole structure is being set for the year. And that's a very, very exciting time. One of the things that I was noticing tonight is a lot of little guys in our services. And it kind of takes me back to the time where we were training our kids to come up and be in big church, so to speak, right? And, I'm not as good a teacher as a Kathy Fainis or a... Now, I do have to say she got a little Pentecostal on us this morning with those... What were those things, Kathy? Handbells. They were handbelling it this morning. But I don't change every 2 minutes my format and what I do. We have wonderful teachers, as Brother Peter said. But I would just say this. I want to commend our parents on training your kids to behave in church. And I see a lot of little ones. I see Jack over here and Andrew and Kayla, and there's always a hill of gas in that age group somewhere, right? And learning how to behave in church. And those of you that are grandmas and grandpas, remember that doesn't happen by accident. That happens with tedious training and work. And parents in our church, you're doing a good job with your kids. Keep training. And as Connie Peters says, enjoy every stage. Every stage, enjoy every stage. One of the wisest things I heard on parenting. And so we're in Jeremiah chapter number 18. I guess I'm getting a little bit sentimental in my age with my kids now gone and looking back at those years and enjoying the kids in our church and thank the Lord for them. We're in Jeremiah chapter 18. On the night of the Lord's table, you've maybe not picked this up, but I went through a series the last 2 years on the seven sayings of the cross over seven different nights that we serve the Lord's table. And then I said, Lord, what would you have me to preach on the night of the Lord's table that could make it more special to our people? And I, at the time, was reading a book, and it was talking about the different relationships that show our relationship to God. And it really, really sparked some truth in me and some understanding. And I thought, well, I think that's what I'll do next is go through the believer's relationship to God. And so I started off in the first message of this series dealing with the creation with the Creator, that relationship that He's the Creator and we are His creation. Then last time we looked at we are the sinners and He is the Savior. And tonight, as we look at that relationship between the believer and God, I want you to look at it from the perspective that the Bible paints here in our text. He's the potter, and I'm the clay. He's the potter, and I'm the clay. I'd like to begin the message with two questions tonight. Number one, are you valuable to God? The answer to that question is yes, you are. But there's another question I would like to ask on the back end of that, and that's this. Are you useful to God? Because being valuable and being useful are not the same thing. You ever bought an antique? I mean one that sits somewhere, like it sits in your living room. And the use of it is this. If somebody comes over to your house, you might get to talk about it for 5 minutes. But you don't ever use it. Is it valuable to you? Oh, yeah, I paid a lot of money for that antique. I even maybe got it restored or polished or whatever. It's valuable, but it's not useful. Is it possible in our relationship with God to be valuable but not useful? Children are wonderful creatures created by God. And when we have little ones, they're valuable to us, aren't they? I mean, we'd go and do anything for them. We'd sacrifice anything for them. But useful? I don't know. They can't change their own diapers. They can't take their own baths. They can't feed themselves. They're pretty demanding at times. They're disobedient. They're stubborn. But one of the reasons we have children is because, A, we have a love for them, a value, but B, we're hoping that God will use us to help shape them into somebody that's useful. Somebody that is a blessing to others and is used by God, right? And so, as we start the message, those two questions are very, very important to think through as we look at this aspect of our relationship with God, that He's the potter and I'm the clay. I want to explain a couple things to you tonight. God's love for you doesn't fluctuate based upon what you do. God's love for all of us is constant. But it doesn't always mean that we are useful to God. We are always valuable to God. But it doesn't always mean that we keep ourselves in a useful place for God. One of the burdens of pastoring is to see people stay in a place where they're used by God. Because God wants to use all of us, doesn't He? And He wants to use all of us, and He wants to use our spiritual gifts, and He wants to use us in the local church. But it's possible that we get ourselves in a place where we are unusable. Not unvaluable, but unusable. And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's all salvation, right? Wonderful. And then it goes on to say this, "For we are His workmanship," or His work of art, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We are all valuable. He died for every human being. All human beings are valuable to God. But once a person is saved, then there is a work that God begins to do to shape that person into the image of Christ. And the more shaping He does, the more useful we become. And so, turn over your Bibles, if you will. We'll come back to Jeremiah and spend some time there. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Being loved by God isn't dependent upon what you do. But being usable to God is dependent on how you live. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 20 with me if you will. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Isn't it interesting that in verse 21, the Bible says, in order to be a vessel that's prepared, that's meet for the master's use, there has to be some things that God is doing, that He is working in your life. And one of those is purging. And if you read on in this passage, verse 22, one of those is fleeing. It says, "Flee also youthful lust." And one of those is following in verse number 22. "With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart and follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace." And one of those is avoiding in verse number 23. One of those is teaching and growing to be gentle with others and not striving. All of that connected to being used by God, or the potter working the clay to be like Christ in order to be a vessel that's meet for the master's use. When people first get saved, they are generally filled with their own ways. Right? They've lived for themselves. They don't know what it means to live for God. They don't know what it means to live for Christ. They have lived a life that's been according to the course of this world, and a life that's been according to their own desires. We find that in Ephesians 2. And so when they get saved, wonderful thing, you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. But now God begins the pottery process. He begins to shape each individual to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that not only are you valuable, but you become useful. And it takes a while. We're working with new converts, many new converts. And boy, there's all kinds of things to talk to them about, right? But everything doesn't change overnight, does it? It takes time. It takes the potter having the pottery on the wheel. And as I was studying a potter for this message, one of the things that he talked about on the wheel was it takes a lot of time with the clay on the wheel. For somebody to do a good work of art with a piece of clay, one of the things that's necessary is time. And so may I remind you of that as we're working with new people at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Give time. Give time. It takes time. As we're working with young people at Mount Zion Baptist Church, you know, in the heart of every adult here, we want all of our young people to avoid all of our mistakes, right? We don't want them to make the same mistakes. We want them to go a lot farther than what we went as young people. We want them to avoid scars. We want them to grow. We want them to have devotions for an hour a day, 7 days a week at 13 years old. But give time. Give time. God's the potter. May I remind you tonight, we're not the potters. God's the potter. And we are the clay. Sometimes there are sinful areas that need cleansed. Sometimes in our lives there are weak areas that need strengthened. Sometimes there are ruined areas that need to be made new. But that's the potter's job. That's what the potter does. He works with the clay. A blob of clay isn't worth much. But a piece of fine china can cost a lot of money. Why? Because the clay becomes valuable in the hand of the potter. A basketball, how much does a basketball cost, Brother Peters? 50 bucks, 60 bucks, 70 bucks for a good one? 50 to 70 bucks? But in the hands of Steph Curry, it's worth $34 million. Why? Why does Steph Curry get $34 million? Because he's learned the craft of how to use that ball. He can dribble it. He can dribble it between three and four and five people at a time. He can shoot it. He can shoot it from anywhere on the court, basically. He's amazing with the basketball. The basketball's not worth that much. But in the hands of Steph Curry, it brings millions of dollars to the Golden State Warriors. People show up by the hordes and thousands to watch this guy shoot a basketball. A tennis ball only costs $3. But a good tennis player will win $1 million at a tournament like the U.S. Open right now going on. Why? Because they've learned the skill or the art of playing tennis. What makes us valuable is not what's in us, because what's in us is not good. But in the hand of the potter, he can make us useful. He can make us beautiful. So what is the work of a potter? Years ago, we were on a missions trip down to Mexico. We were with Brother Slaughter. And near Brother Slaughter's house, or near his church, there was a potter that was nearby. And he said, "Hey, Pastor, what do you think about going over and taking the young people to spend some time with the potter?" And so we went over there and we got to see the wheel, and he explained a few things about it. But what is the work of a potter? A potter takes a blob of clay, a ball of clay, and the potter's job is to take that blob and to make something. He's got a vision of what that blob can become. And he takes it and he makes it beautiful, and he makes it useful. That's the work of the potter. Now here's the thrust of the message. I must endure the process with the potter to become the product. Did you get that? I must endure the process of the potter. The potter knows the process. Trust me, God the Father's been doing this with a lot of people for a long time. He knows the process to bring us into the image of Christ, to bring that beauty to our lives, and to bring usefulness to our lives. But we have to endure the process. There's a process to becoming the product. He forms the clay with great patience and care, and with a vision in mind of what it will look like when he's done with it. Turn back in your Bibles to Jeremiah 18 and look at verse number 6, or verse number 4. The Bible says in verse number 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel." And I would like you to look at that last phrase, "as seemed good to the potter to make it." If you talk to a potter, you'll find there are three important things in the shaping of the piece of pottery. One is the positioning of the clay. I didn't know this unless you talk to a potter or you watch what a potter does, but the first thing that a potter does is he takes that ball of clay and he molds it into a ball, and that wheel, that spinning wheel, is going around, and he does his best to put that ball perfectly centered on the wheel. Very important to a potter that he perfectly centers that ball of clay on that wheel. For if it's not perfectly centered, it will not turn out when they go through the process of making it into a piece of pottery. And so they take that ball of clay, and as they're watching that wheel, they put that ball of clay, and they put that ball of clay right on the middle of the wheel. Very important that happens, and that it happens right, or else the whole process is not going to work. And I would draw an analogy from that tonight, that if we're going to be shaped into the image of Christ, God takes us and centers us on Christ at salvation. And we have to be centered on Christ. If you're centered on sacraments, then the work of God in your life is not going to produce Christ-likeness, because you don't have Christ in you. So the positioning, your positioning, where you begin with God is at salvation. And when he takes your ball of clay and he centers it on Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11 says, "There is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So when God lays that foundation in your life, when your eyes are open to salvation, and he takes your clay, could I say it? Your dirt. We're dirt. And he centers it on Christ. Ah, now that's a piece of clay that he's going to be able to work with. That's a piece of clay that he's going to be able to shape. And so the potter makes sure that the clay is centered. By the way, the potter knows whether or not it's centered. You can go to YouTube and see this. Go to YouTube, search potter. And there'll be people that'll be talking about pottery, but one of the things that potters will talk about is they will show you what a piece of clay in the wheel looks like that's centered. And you'll be able to see it with the naked eye. And when it's not centered. And you'll be able to see that. And could I say about every one of us tonight that God, as the potter, knows whether or not your life is centered on Christ, whether or not you have a foundation of Christ in your life. And my friend, if you don't have that foundation, what I'm talking about is salvation here. If you don't have that foundation, then the potter cannot work with your clay. He works with people that are saved. Now, he draws people to salvation. We know that. He brings things into people's lives to draw them to the Savior. But as far as shaping your life into the image of Christ, that doesn't begin until you get saved. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. Man, God's whole plan is for you to be conformed to the image of his Son, but you first have to be saved. If that positioning is right, then you have Christ in your life. Then you have the Holy Spirit living within. Then you are properly centered so that the potter can work with you. It is God which worketh in you, both to the will and to do of His good pleasure. May I say the foundation is not somebody just dabbling in the Bible, reading the Bible and searching God. That doesn't mean they've been centered on Christ. I'm glad that they're doing that. If somebody's in the Bible and they're not saved, hey, our prayer is that the light of the Scriptures will penetrate their soul and they'll become saved. But just reading the Bible doesn't do that. There is a work internally that's done at salvation. God works in us. Stopping a bad habit is not centering the clay on the wheel. Well, you know what? I'm a sinner. I've had a terrible life, but I'm going to quit this habit. Well, I'm glad that you want to quit that habit, but that doesn't mean your life's centered on Christ. Centering a life on Christ is salvation. God accomplishes that work. So when that is in place, what then is the next step of the process in order to become the product? And the next step of the process is pressure. I hate that word. But here goes the potter. Boom! Puts the clay on the center of the wheel. Begins to mold that clay. It's interesting, the way I understand it, is they take this part of their hand on the side, and they take this part of their pinky on the top. And as that wheel's spinning, they hold their hand steady so that the clay doesn't move the hand, but the hand shapes the clay, both on the side and on the top. And pressure is applied. Pressure in various places to varying degrees, dependent upon what shape the potter wants to make. He has to apply pressure. Pressure. You ever feel pressure in life? It comes in all different sizes and to varying degrees. Some people feel pressure so much in their lives that their blood pressure goes up, that it affects them physically because of the pressures of life that they're facing. Maybe you're facing pressure tonight. Maybe you're facing financial pressure. Oh? Why, preacher? You're in the process. The potter. The potter wants to bring beauty out of your life and wants to bring usefulness out of your life. But you have to be positioned right, and then you have to handle the pressure from the potter's hands in order for the vessel to be developed into what the potter seems good to make it. Sometimes I think we as Christians, in misunderstanding this relationship, we think that pressure is always a bad thing. But it's the pressure, as the potter works with the clay, it's the pressure that brings the detail out of the pottery. If you're making a piece of pottery, and let's say it's a gravy, it pours out gravy. You know, they got to do that little indention at the end so that when it pours out, it has a little place. And so there's a pressure point there that the potter applies. Why are you doing this? Well, it's for purpose. In your life, every pressure point that God creates has purpose. He's the potter. I'm the clay. He says in Romans chapter 9, if you turn there, back there, Romans chapter number 9, why are you doing that, God? Kind of odd for the clay to call out to the potter that way, isn't it? Doesn't the potter know best? Isn't the potter the one that's supposed to do the shaping? But God seems to bring that question to light here in verse number 20 of Romans chapter 9. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? As the clay in the potter's hands, is it right for me to say, God, what do you think you're doing? Wait, you're the potter. I'm the clay. You're the one in charge. Christian,
He's the one in charge. You and I are the clay. We're to let God do the molding and bring the pressure. Didn't Job say it in a similar way in Job 23? Where he says, He knoweth the way that I take. For when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. Could we say it this way? Could we say that Job was really saying, when God applies the pressure, when I go through the process that God sees is right, I'll come out the way the potter wants me to come out? Sometimes we fight pressures, don't we? We personally fight pressures in our lives. We get attitudes about the pressures that we're dealing with that may seem unfair. We're squeezed, but He's molding. He's shaping. He's got a purpose in mind. Beauty and usefulness. That's what God wants to accomplish in your life. But you've got to understand, you've got to let Him shape you. You've got to let God bring into your life what He sees you need in your life in order to become what He wants you to become. There's the pressures and the positioning, but thirdly, there's the pliability of the clay. Did you know, would you get this truth tonight, young people and old people alike, older people alike, all of us are being shaped. The question is, by who? The world's shaping a lot of Christians today. A lot of Christians being shaped by the world. And the potter has a hard time shaping when somebody else has their hands on our clay. You ever seen clay with two potters? Here's one shaping and then the other one. Just a second. Just take a 5-minute break. I got a different idea. No. Let's go back. It doesn't work. All of us are being shaped. Who are you being shaped by? The potter wants to shape you. You belong to the potter. You're of great value. But the question is, are you being useful? If you're being useful or you're going to be useful, you have to submit to the process and be pliable in the hands of the potter. When a potter is shaping a piece of clay, he's constantly bringing water into that piece of clay because that clay hardens fast. So as he's shaping the clay, he's bringing water into the clay. The water of the Word of God is what God continually brings into our lives to keep us pliable, to keep us tender and moldable. When we get out of the daily access to the Word of God, you need to understand something about your nature, and I do too tonight, and that is this. We get hard fast. And when we're hard, potter can't do anything with us. He has one solution. Break us. Cast us aside. Not that He cast us out of His family. That doesn't happen. We have eternal salvation. But it does come to a point where Christians can become useless to God if we harden our hearts and we don't keep in the place of pliability. That's where it gets dangerous. He gives us the water of the Word. There are pitfalls. There's the role or the purpose of the potter. There's pitfalls of the clay. I give you this quickly. Did you know I have a clay problem and you have a clay problem too? You know what the clay problem is? Free will. He can apply pressure and I can tell him I don't like it. Potter, get your hands off that area. You can touch other areas, but don't touch that area. All of us have this problem. We like to be in charge of our own lives. And when we follow that attitude and we refuse to be molded by the potter, and as long as our hearts remain in that attitude, we remain a lump of useless clay. Hey, that hurts! Stop that! We don't say it that way. But we do get attitudes toward God sometimes. That's not a soft, tender attitude. You see, it's up to the potter to make the vessel. And here's the key to the process. Submission is the price that you and I must pay to be useful and to be of benefit to the potter. Submitting to his process. I don't always like the process. Not everything in my life have I winked at and said, "Ah, this is wonderful." And it'd be the same thing of you. But could you understand something tonight? In your relationship with God, the Bible has painted this very picturesque part of our relationship. He's the potter and I'm the clay. The clay has to submit to the potter's hands. Now, there are some Christians that get to a point in their life where they take their clay out of the potter's hands. They leave God. They backslide. They run from God. "Nope, God, you're not going to be in control of my life anymore." That's very dangerous. The safest place to be Christian is in the potter's hands. That's the safest place to be. God's purpose as the potter is to shape you. Don't minimize, Christian, the cost of a hard heart in your life. It is costly. You have to understand, a hard heart means the potter is no longer working with your clay. He can't. You develop a hard heart, you let a hard heart sit in. Young people, teenagers, would you listen to me? You better weigh the cost of a hard heart. And I'm talking from experience. My teen years, a couple years of my life, I got a hard heart towards God. And it was not a pleasant time in my life. Don't minimize the cost of a hard heart. It's when the potter takes his hands off the clay. There are two dangers, Christian, tonight as I close, and the pitfalls of the clay. One is to get a hard heart and refuse to submit to the changes that God wants to make in your life. That's danger number one. If there is something you are bucking, Christian, you ought to stop bucking tonight. And you ought to say, "You know what? The potter knows what he's doing. I trust the potter. Whatever the potter is going to accomplish through this, God, I'm putting it before you. God, if you want to change this in my life, I'm submitting to you. God, I'm not running. God, I don't want to become a hard piece of clay. God, if you're showing me something through your word and your spirit, Lord, I want to submit to that." You make that decision tonight. And you put yourself back in the hands of the potter. The second danger of being in the potter's hands is to think that God has completed His work in our lives and that we are a finished product. "Well, I've been saved now for 25 years. I think I'm pretty much where God wants me." Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. As long as you're in this life, you're on the wheel. And God wants to continue to shape you. I spend time with our people, and some of the sweetest people I spend time with are some of our older folk. And it seems like when I spend time with some of them, I walk away and feel like, man, that was so sweet. If heaven's going to be like that, they had a little bit of Jesus in them. And you know what? They've been on the wheel a long time. And they've learned to, ouch. Yep, God, but you know what you're doing. Potter, I trust you. God, you're right. I'm going to endure the process because you want a work of art for your honor and your glory. So, what does that bring me to tonight? It brings me to this as we close. Maybe tonight you need to get back to being soft. and staying surrendered to God. God, whatever. Whatever you want in my life. A lot of times we say this, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. But how about this, Lord, whatever you want to bring into my life, I'll accept from you because I trust you as the potter. Wouldn't that be a prayer that God would be honored with tonight from His people? That, Lord, you're the potter and I'm the clay. Lord, whatever you need to do in my life to accomplish your process, Lord, you have the right to make me the way you want to make me. Help me to submit to that. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Lord, I'm not sure what you're doing in my life right now. You may not understand the pressure points, why they're there, but Lord, I want to stay surrendered to you. Lord, if you need to put pressure in my life to mold me, I'll not fight it or dodge it. Lord, how can I grow through this pressure or trial in my life? You see, there's some Christians that have become castaways. They're saved. That's not a question. But as far as the beauty and usefulness of their lives, it's not there. God, they're too prideful. They think they've attained. They're too stubborn. They won't submit to the process. And so God cast them away. We have that picture in John 15 where He cast away the branch that's withered. Paul is afraid of it. He did all this. He said, I bring my body under subjection lest I should become a castaway. You know what, Christian? The worst testimony a Christian can have today is that he is a castaway. The best testimony a Christian can have today is I'm on the wheel. I'm on the wheel. God's shaping me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed tonight.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,